Welcome. We are Marie
and Georgia,
and we are the host of the podcast series called Everyone We Wish You Knew.
On a monthly basis, we invite people from the performing arts environment in Denmark to talk about their practices and artistic work.
We're curious about the work of dance artists, choreographers, performing artists, critics and scholars who contribute to the making of what we call the Danish dance scene.
Welcome, Manon and Emma. We are very happy that we could catch up with you after you finished your performance here at the Xenon scene of Teaterhuset. We actually sit in the wardrobe or the changing room after everybody left. And we were very happy that you will take the time to talk a bit with us about your project V in general and specific the performance we experienced today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
we would like to ask you to shortly introduce yourself by full name and a bit about your background.
My name is Manon Siu-Dukine. I'm half French and half Danish, but I mostly grew up in Denmark. And I'm a dance performer. I studied in Dock in Sweden, where I graduated from almost 4 years ago now. And then I've mostly been doing my own projects since that, quite a lot internationally around Europe and South America.
And my name is Emma Arnoldi. I am 22 years old and I'm a writer. I have written for different cultural magazines, and then with Manon, I wrote this text that you experienced tonight. And from that text, we had a discussion about how we could turn that into something performative. And from that, we created Project B, which is our performative platform. Besides from that, I live in Copenhagen, but I'm from Bornholm as well, and that's where we know each other from.
Ah,
yeah.
I didn't know that. So you know each other from way back?
We know each other from way back. We actually, we went to a drama school on the island, which is in Rønne Theater, which is the oldest still functioning theater in Scandinavia, I think.
Northern Europe.
Beautiful theater with still the inclined floor, and I started there when I was 13, and you went later?
I went later, but my mom was the leader of the school, so I knew Manon from when I was about maybe 7-8 years old.
Yeah.
And then I waited until I was 9 to finally be able to perform. Because you had to be 9, I remember that very clearly. You had to be 9 to be a part of the theater group.
Yeah.
Drama school, it was called.
And we were 50 kids between 9 and 18 years old. And each year we made a performance together. And it was very experimental, I would say, for being a drama school. And we were each year we were doing different kinds of theater. And we actually did dance theater once when I was in the second last year I did it.
With Thomas Eisenhower.
Yeah. And that's why I was like, wow, there's something here with the body that I really want to dig into. Yeah, so we know each other way back from there, and also just like as being close friends, and I've been coming a lot in Emma's family also. So, yeah.
And then you took two different pathways of education, and then at some point you met each other again.
Yeah.
When was that?
So Manon and I have always had a kinship that we have remained. When I was about 18, we met each other again and became quite good friends, and we hitchhiked to Barcelona together.
I took her with me.
You stole me. There's an age difference of how many years? 6 years?
6 years.
6 years. Yeah. So when I was a kid, obviously Manon was like this big sister figure in my life. And then when we met and I was 18, it was closer in a way. You get closer in age. And we went to Barcelona, and I took, at that time, I took a lot of photos. I still do, but that was very much my interest. And I took photos of you in Barcelona.
Dancing.
And we kept in touch while you were traveling, I was traveling. And then last year, 2018, in January, Manong had a month in Denmark, which is rare because she travels a lot. And at the time, I was living in this old apartment in Frederiksberg Allé. Big old apartment. And I offered to house her. And that was a really nice experience of just living together. And you read this text
Shared it with me. And then I felt very inspired by it. And also, I felt affinity with it. And then also freaking out a bit about being in Denmark in general and being like, can we do something?
Yeah.
And then at that time I was working in Tornby, actually, for Andreas. I had been working for the festival, and then the deal was that I could use the space.
For Andreas Liebmann.
Liebmann, exactly. And then I asked if we could use the space to rehearse something. And then we started creating a van. And then, because we were like, okay, but now we're creating something, where should we perform it? And we felt like there was no venue platform for it. Then we also decided to create our own platform where we could perform it in Tornby, in a public space. Mm-hmm. We asked Andreas. And then we invited two other artists from Berlin that were there that same weekend teaching a workshop. And Claudia, Sarah, we asked them to be DJs.
Claudia Smith and Sarah Vita.
Yeah, and we asked another friend of mine and Sophie Jord to do a photo exhibition. And then we decided that it should be about female artists, a platform for female artists. And so both interdisciplinary performance, but also DJ and party, to have a space to share the experience afterwards. And that became Project V.
Mm.
And we also had an open call for video dances, that first event, that came from all over the world that we projected.
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah.
It was basically me and Manong experiencing being very thrilled about something that we were creating together. And sitting at a cafe very near where we are right now at a Studiestrel, and having this product, and then we started to talk about the lack of a platform for female artists as well in Copenhagen. So we were like, okay, we have this performance, we have the ability, we have the space, we have the connections, we know so many talented women in Copenhagen, let's do Project V. Let's create a platform where we and other female artists can come and share and encourage and challenge their art with us and the audience.
And how would you then describe Project V? You already called it a platform. Is it, and I also have some words here, is it more of a project, temporary project, or is it a collective? Is it a platform? How would you describe it?
We described it as a platform for performative events, but we are also expanding it to, like, for now we have been producing events that include different artists sharing their artwork and then DJ partying afterwards, but we are also now interested in having different kinds of events, having like an expanded idea of events. And then right now we are also in the process of inviting other artists that have been part from the beginning, supporting, standing in the bar, putting up the lights, performing, to make it a collective, and also making it a firm, so we can also get it growing and get it bigger and get some bigger funding.
This has been definitely like a discussion we've had within ourselves, because whenever you have an idea and you put that idea into the world and you take it out of your head and you're like, okay, you share it, then there's certain like questions that rise, which has been very, I would say, very organic for us. It's been a very organic journey of doing something because we can and because we want to, doing it very quickly. We created it within a month and we had it successful, and I'm doing this in quotation marks because success is measured in a various places. But for us, it was a successful event because people came, people liked it, we had fun. Right, like it was a fun experience.
Yeah.
And from there on, we have expanded Project V. And when I say expanded, I mean expanded in a way where we have created more events, but we have also expanded it in the way that we are including more people into the heart of Project V.
Mm.
So more women are being part of this. That's why you could call it a collective, but I don't want to call it a collective because it's an idea of thinking of a way of a platform of an event, like of a... I want people, when they go to a Project V event, to be surprised, but also walk into something when they're like, this is a Project V event.
Mm.
And when I say that, what I mean is that I want people to walk in and experience women. And when I say women, I also mean queer women, trans, non-binary women. To have an experience of... them sharing something that you wouldn't otherwise get in a place, like having both this softness but also this strength and this exploration of femininity, which I think Project V can carry, and I don't think other platforms that I have experienced can carry it the same way.
Mm.
Because it is a living art installation, it is a performance, it is a party, but most of all it's a dialogue, and it's a way of putting something great out there.
Mm.
And that's why a platform works for us, because a platform you can take anywhere. You can take it to Scene on Stage, where we have a very, like, a produced performance with light. You can take it to the rooftop of a small performance place in Monterrey, Mexico. You can take it to Tornby.
We had 3 events in Copenhagen last year in Tornby. Where the second one we then had an open call and had all kind of different proposals, which was really, really great. And then in the autumn we decided to curate the event more around the theme of consent, and then we invited artists that we knew that were already interested in that and had something, but then also created a specific kind of installation where different artists were mixing their proposals at the same time, and as an audience you could walk around and have different experiences. And then there was a performance by Aurean Parras. And then Emilie Langvelle. And then we met a person, Areli Moran, who we wanted to invite for that event, but she couldn't, and then she was like, but I have a space in Mexico, you could come here. And we were like, yeah. And then we applied to Statens Kunstfond and got funding for our travels covered. And then we collaborated with her. We had a weekend there where we came with the performance event, but we also brought the platform, Project V, during 2 nights, and we had different local artists from there. And then we also collaborated. We contacted another friend that I know there who collaborates with another space and made it there again.
In Cholula,
in Monterrey, and Cholula, we were in Mexico, and I think that was also where we felt that there was a vibe that we had been feeling in Tornby, that was like Project V vibe, and it was there in Mexico, so it was like there's something really special here that you can sense, and that was so cool to have that very physical experience somehow, that it's not a specific person or time or place, but it's the combination of all these different elements that makes Project V. Yeah.
Could you describe the atmosphere that you experienced in Project V? Like you say, it happened both times in Tokyo and in Mexico. Like, what kind of atmosphere is it? Is it a trustful?
It's a curiosity. See, it's people who attend these events, they attend it with a certain curiosity and softness.
And openness.
And also the fact that we are collaborating with these artists, that we are kind of a unity when we're doing it, supporting each other. And I think that kind of reflects on the audience as well. Because I've been to a lot of different art and also performative art events, and they a lot of the time it can be a very good experience, but it can also be a very, like, kind of this, like, trendy, we live in a very, like, trendy Instagram world where it's, like, something...
judgmental, I would also
judgmental
say.
As well, like, mm-hmm. you are bringing yourself and you're expecting to get something very specific back. Mm-hmm. And I feel like at the Project V events I have attended, people have responded with questions, with dialogue, with debate, with an openness, with a curiosity, with a common, oh wow, you could do it like this, like that, you could view it like that. And yeah,
I would say also for the artist, this of sharing a space which is really mixing all the arts, and where we can meet and value each other for our differences, and also allow each other and ourselves to experience and experiment with things. And it's been, like, there was one moment in particular I remember in Monterrey with a female singer who has been interpreting songs for like 10, 15 years, I don't know, and then she's shared during her concert that she's been writing her own song the last 3 years, and this was the first time she was presenting them in public. And I remember just, like, looking at Emma with, like, goosebumps all over the place and, like, tears running down. Like, it's like, this is what it's about, very concretely, like, to all those artists that have all this amazing art within them, and to be like, hey, yeah, you can totally do it, and support each other in that.
Yeah. It has, from the start, been very important for us that a Project V event is also a place where you experiment. It's a place where, because you as an audience walk into a performative night, and these artists experiment with the things that they're, like, trying out. Like, for example, Avan, the performance is a very good example of that. We, again, in quotation marks, tried it out at Tombu. We had this idea, we had this vision of a performance, and then we opened it up within the audience. And from there on, it gave us something to work with, and also to do it in a collaboration so closely with other artists who were attending it, and people who are not from the art world at all. Just creates, like, this certain experimental and very nice energy.
Generous.
Yeah, very generous energy as well. Also, when you have, for example, it's very common at the events we've created that people are showcasing shorter performances and a variety of different art. So you get in and you can, in Mexico, for example, we had Denise, she's a poet, and she's a performative poet, and she had written these, like, in my opinion, I really liked her texts, and she performed it in a very performative way. It wasn't just like an open mic night for her, for sure. It was very powerful text. About some of it was about Me Too, some of it was about sexuality, some of it was about being a queer person in Mexico, and then we had Tentacle Tribe. Emmanuelle Lefon, she's a dancer, and she has a background in hip-hop. And she had worked with local dancers from Monterrey to create this kind of very... It could be like in a music video, in a way. Yeah. It was like a very, like, okay, I'm here, like, I'm on a dance performance. So you had, like, both the side where Denise was showcasing her poems, and she was doing it in a performative way, but it was... stuff that makes you think. And then you had Emmanuel Lefon, who's technically a really good dancer. And that combination just created this, like, this energy of, okay, I wanna stay, I wanna be here, I wanna experience, but also and then the party after, for me, is super important, because people get to, it's not just like they're not just leaving the theater. and then talking with their friends, but they get to stay and talk to the person that they sat next to. Yeah.
And also in, especially in Tornby, in public space, which is not a traditional theater space, so we made it a performance space, and then afterwards the same performance space was the party space. Mm-hmm. So also to be able to experience where there has just been a performer, now I'm dancing or talking, or I think that is also quite some, it gives also to the sensation of openness and still really being in the material of what has just happened, and talk about it or dance it or laugh about it or cry about it.
Because I personally had really intense experiences with, especially when in Tornby in October we were doing the event around the theme of consent, because there was, for a lot of reasons, we all know that it's been a Me Too times up year. And within arts, that's for me, like whenever something major is happening in a political, social structure scene, I feel like that's our duty as artists as well, as people living in this time, to kind of create and feel and perform from that. And that was for me very intense. That was an intense event. I felt that kind of, okay, fuck, I really have to like talk about this. I have to feel it, because people were affected by it. And that's interesting to me.
Yeah, it was a bit like after the events, everyone was sitting like, okay. But then we got on some music, and then somehow little by little it evened out, and to not have to talk about it in this more, because we had a debate and a discussion where I think maybe some people didn't feel like they could share their opinions, but then afterwards in a more laid-back setting, everyone could get to say express what they needed about it more.
I would like to ask, because you mentioned before that the event, this performance that you are currently performing, that it was created in a work in progress, and you were openly sharing it with the other artists and in the public. And I would like to ask you to describe what is Avan.
Avan is the performance, if you look at it from broad spectrum. It's about a one-night stand in Copenhagen. It's about a very ordinary situation that I think almost everybody goes through. A situation where you might not be able to communicate your needs and wants in the bedroom. And both the frustration and the awkwardness and the funny part of that. And then it takes you on a flip where it shows the story from the perspective of, okay, but how do I tell this to my friends the next day? And then that's the text part of it, basically. And Manon read the text, and she from there created a choreography which symbolizes it. Obviously symbolizes sex in a lot of way, but it's also club, it's like body, it's communication, it's this really live vibe of getting wet. Because we are getting wet, and that's, it's just funny, because it's something like, oh, you say, okay, she has to get wet, but like, you, as a woman, you have to get wet to have sex. But it's also this like coming out of his fetus position and sharing. Everybody's like, I think every girl has shared a bathtub with her friend at one point, this like companionship you can have in a bathtub, and like sharing stories there. And it's just putting that universe and really putting in very specifically into event, into the event universe.
And I would also say that it's a, like, it is a very concrete story, but that then is being, to be able to communicate it to various different people, it is like transferred into something very visual, with the bathtub, with the water, with the camera filming live from above, projecting as if it's a window, but then actually the window is showing what is happening, the bathtub. Also the DJ, which we have specifically been working on now lately, finally to like finish the piece, that really brings like some intense and also very up-to-date music and sound on the stage. Claudia Smith. She's part of the feminist collective called Kapow. And she also has a DJ duo with Sara Vita.
But she does this, she asked me as well to say, like, she does this by herself, like, by Claudia Smith. Yeah. It's like a work she's been doing. She works with Project V as well. She's called Claudications on Instagram. Yeah. If you want to find out.
Yeah. And how is your collaboration with the music? Like,
that's what, like, in the beginning, the two of us, we made an event together and we would go to Tornby and be like, okay, we have a couple of hours. You read the text, I try out some movement, we put on some music. And then one day, I don't remember who of us was like, what about a bathtub? Kind of for fun. And then we're like, hey, that's a good idea. Let's get a bathtub. And then my dad, he found a bathtub on a field outside Roskilde and was like, girls, do you want me to ask if we can borrow this bathtub? And we're like, yes, please. And then we filled it with water and was like,
yeah,
this works.
Because
it gives a lot of effect, the water, both us being in it, getting out, being super wet and soaked. What was the question?
About the collaboration.
With the music, exactly. So in the beginning, we just brought our music, and then now...
And by our, we mean we work with a female... Well, we use music from a female artist called Abra. We use music from Grimes, Genesis. We use music from Jamie XX, The Gush. The Gush actually came because that was the song that I was listening to the night that I wrote the text.
Yeah.
And that it's like, it's a good song for the choreography.
Mm.
And from there on, we had another song. We used Eric Serra in the beginning.
From the Big Blue?
Le Grand Bleu, yeah.
Which is more internal, joke from when we did theater, I think.
The first dance performance we ever did together at Dramaskolen at Bornholm, we used the entire soundtrack of Le Grand Bleu.
So it was kind of like very... tremendously cheesy to begin this.
And Claudia this time around was like, girls, it's fucking cheesy. It's like an 80s song, like you have to cut it. I'm gonna do something else.
Yeah.
Which was so good. So it's always good whenever you have like a baby to have somebody tell you it's your baby. It's not everybody else's. It doesn't work, like kill your darling. Yeah. And so we killed it. We killed it.
And also, like, when we started working with Claudia, then we came like, okay, we are using these themes, but you can please come with your music and mix it in as you want. And so she started doing that, and then, like, little by little, also getting to know the performance, being like, yeah, kill your darlings to us, and getting in with her awesome music.
And the performance is a multimedia performance. And you also have this transdisciplinary profile in your collaboration.
Yes.
Is this the only or the first performative artifact that you have produced together?
As Project V,
yes. Together, yes. The event has definitely been the baby of Project V for the two of us.
Yeah.
But we are also very aware of the fact that Project V is something we want to present to other artists as well. It's not just me and Manang showing what we can do.
And now, for example, we are in the projecting of another collaboration with Areli Moran, who is from Mexico but who lives in Berlin, hopefully in June, without saying too much, in Warehouse 9. We want to make an event about gender. Where we would also create Areli Moran, she's gonna come with a piece that she has already about it, and then we wanna create an event, a performance with other artists for that specific occasion. So, yeah.
Mm. Now you talked a lot about how the creation of Event took you from Tornby to
Mexico
to Tornby again and Tornby, and then now you're here. And these events that you use Project V as a platform for.
Mm.
And I would like to ask you if you see yourselves as curators of these events. And if yes, what your vision is as a curator.
Mm.
Because I hear a lot that you gather artists and you organize things, and that sounds a lot like the work of a curator and how you as artists also perform as curators and what your vision is.
Yeah. I started now in the first two events, I didn't think about myself as a curator at all. But when we did the event about consent, I started, yeah, I was like, whoa, we are curating this. Mm. Very much in like, because there's one thing about as we know each other personally and then we started working professionally, I think that's a lot how I work in my everyday life. Like I meet people through dancing, through different art gatherings, and then I feel affinity with them, and then I'm like, hey, we should do something together. So I think in the curation part, it's both, like, of course, there's the first people that I know around me are working, and that, of course, are working with similar questions, but also going further than that and being like, ah, but who else do I know that I have seen perform somewhere, organize, do this something that could fit in here to really, add their thing. And also, not only give something to us, but that it could also serve them somehow.
For me personally, I have, from the first event, very much realized that I was very intrigued and interested in the whole curating producing process, and that for me, obviously, me and Manong come from different backgrounds, and I feel like we have a lot of strength as a pair in that sense, that we are not two dancers doing something together, we're not two writers, we're not two photographers, we're two people with different backgrounds who support each other in various ways that can do this, make this happen. I definitely see myself more as a curator than as a performer. I know I'm performing right now at CNN, but that for me is something that I've done with this piece, and I love to do it. It's fun, and I like the reactions from it and the feeling that I get inside when I go off the stage. But professionally, I see Project V as something that I want to take and I want to curate and I want to produce it on a very serious level. Mm. So yeah, for me, definitely, it's really difficult to both be performing and curating at events. At the consent event, as I said, I gave this text to somebody, so I didn't have to perform, and that was the first time I didn't perform myself, didn't have a text, didn't have a performance with Manong. And from now on, I felt that I had more responsibility to be the upfront face, like, okay, I'm letting people in, I'm talking, I'm presenting, I'm talking about this artist, I'm presenting people, I'm holding kind of this like motherly role of trying to like grasp everybody under my wings and walk them through this night in a very hopefully positive way. And I really love it. Like I really think it's super challenging and we have a lot to learn and we keep on having a lot to learn. But for me, that's definitely, I see myself as a curator.
Yeah. And also, like, this first year has really been going from nothing and just putting our own energy, money, time into it. And now our vision, seeing that it works and that we have something here, is also really to not only create this platform for female, queer, non-binary and trans women, but also to be able to pay them for their work.
Yes.
So this is definitely our next step as curators, to also be able to really not just give the space, but also the conditions for those performers that really, performers and artists that really, really deserve it.
But do you have also some guidelines that you follow in order to curate an event, or some criteria?
With the consent, for example, I had the experience of creating something within a theme that was very positive.
Mm.
I like the idea of, okay, you walk into a themed night and then these artists get this theme. And at that point, we invited people that we knew or knew of that mm-hmm. could do something good. And then we kind of just said, okay, this is the theme. Do you want to do something about it? Yes, I want to.
And then we met, I think we met once before the event to just share our idea around consent and this evening. And then each invited artist could share, like, what does this move in you? I think we did that maybe 1 month before the event or something. And then we met basically again the same week till the event and was like, okay, this is what I came up with, and made a puzzle of who is where in space and how long time do you need, and puzzled it together, but quite intuitively and
also sparring with each other. And not I'm not at the times where we have created these project events, we're not in quotations, like, responsible for the art that is being presented. We have a platform, the art is being presented, and when these women have a certain idea of something and want to present it at that platform, for me it has been very interesting, the whole dialogue of oh, I have this idea, like and that's why we are trying not to use, like, the, like, to say no too much to ideas and concept, but to work and to spar and to share thoughts and ideas and use it as an experimental place.
And that the most important is that you come and you, like, you really have something you want to do and something you want to share.
Obviously.
And then whatever it is, we trust, I think, a lot in that it's, if it's felt with heart and guts, then it's going to be good in the way it needs to be good.
I was just thinking if you could put into words, like, what Project V can do with only female or queer or non-binary people, like, what is it that Project V can bring to the environment that is not existing at the moment?
I think it's something about that, because it being a performative event for female, queer, non-binary and trans persons, that it's something really specific, but within that, still super everything
broad.
Can happen.
Super broad.
So something about that, like, that there's a surprise, there's a risk-taking, but there's also a very generous and open and curious space at the same time. So it's a bit like,
Because your audience members, you don't have a requirement for the audience members.
No, we don't. We don't stop white men at the door and tell them to turn around. We would love to have more white men at the door. Actually, we have had, like, a lot of. For me, that's been, for example, my brother coming and watching our performance, or coming to Project V events and having great experiences with it. And because you asked about what it can do specifically, and I think what you mean is, why take away the men? Why does that create something specifically? And for me, it's not about taking away the men. It has never been about, like, no, not at all. It has been about creating an environment where subjects, certain themes, certain feels can blossom within a very open, very generous, a very curious energy, without. I want to be able to stand on the stage and talk about something like a sensual experience from a young female perspective. And I want to be able to do it without despairing of a space where I feel like it's super difficult to talk about, by the way, to create, like, a certain, especially in English, I have to, this is my second language. It's something about when you're doing it with other women, people who identify as being a female, it's a certain, and I know it sounds like hippie bullshit, but it is really a certain energy that you get from that space, and it's also a certain energy that the men, this, and I'm, now we're talking about straight men specifically, that we also have a lot of gay friends coming to this, or gay people, it doesn't really matter, but it's a certain energy it also projects to them.
Mm.
And my brother's friend Anas, for example, who came to the consent event, he took me aside and he was like, I've never thought about communication patterns within my sex life like this before, and you've really opened up my door, and I felt like I could, because it was only performed by women, and that was a certain energy, I felt like I could lean back and I could just listen and I could take it in a very positive way, so thank you for that. And I also think that's just, why.
Yeah, and also what you said earlier in relation to something else, but you were talking about that we know each other really, really well, but we also have developed in different backgrounds. So you bring an audience, I bring an audience, and then the space where we do it or the performers bring other audiences that also make that, like, people that don't always meet at Senan or in Tornby suddenly meet and are like, hey, wow, yeah, that's cool to get to talk to other people that have different experiences and different thoughts. And
as well, it's a blank statement. It, like, it just creates a statement when you stand 15 women on the stage and you've made all the everything, like, and you don't have, I've seen so many performances where it's like female performers and then it's like a male director or a male technician or a male, like, light. It can be done in a different way. And I talked to, I was at a party this week with a collective of artists called Unit as well. And I talked to my friend Valdemar, who's a photographer, a very talented photographer. And he was like, I want to come with you to Mexico. I want to take photos. I want to do this. And I was like, I know you do, and you're fucking talented, but I also know, like, so many amazing women that I would also like to explore, because, like, it's so easy. I remember in the beginning as well, when we did Project V, it was so easy for us to just be like, oh, we know photographers, but they're all men. Mm. And in reality, there's so many women out there who's doing a really good job being photographers as well. And this is just, and like, highlighting. Yeah. It's just highlighting women. It's not like, and it's a platform for highlighting women in arts. And then you can go on and you can do, like, whatever you do by the side of that.
Mm.
But for that night, we're just exploring femininity. We're exploring women. We're exploring women within arts. And it's a fucking celebration.
Yeah. Yeah, we were saying that we had a meeting 2 weeks ago with the core, the heart of Project V.
Who are the heart of the Project V?
It's Oriane Parras, who was here tonight also. And then it's Claudia Smith, the DJ of Avant. Then it is Karin Bergman, who was also DJing at the first or the second and also performing together with June Lusher.
Yeah, she's a dancer and a DJ.
Yes. Yeah. And then we have now two collaborators that really want to be part also in Mexico, who is Areli Moran and Andrea Scheel.
And then we've been working a bit with my mom, actually, who's she's been working within arts and theater forever, and she's a great consultant to have a pair of a couple of eyes that I've seen a lot.
Also from an oath, because that's also what happens when you work easily in the same age level, so that's also cool to get, and eventually
To also get women of other generations
ages.
And generations
and their knowledge. Yeah.
Her name is Tina Nelly.
Tina Nelly, And
you had a meeting with the core group, you said?
Yes. We had a meeting with the core group, exactly. And then there was a question about, like, why you or why, and it was just like, because we love you and we trust in you, and it's not because you're rich or famous or strong or intelligent, it's just like because and it's so simple and so complex, and also that eventually, like, we started this, but also we're more and more encouraging those people that have been part of it from the beginning to be like, hey, I want to do this, like, who wants to help me in this? And for example, Andrea Scheel, who is in Mexico and we took a self-defense class with her in Masunte that was led by a man. And then afterwards, we were like, hey, what about doing self-defense classes that are led by women? And then Andrea, she's like, I know a woman who has a firm only by women, and maybe she wants to sponsor that we can get an education and take a tour around Mexico. And so, and they, I was like, yes, please use our name. Like, it's all our, not the two of us our, but everyone who has this kind of vision and can see it as an enrichment.
Could the Project V events be seen as activistic actions?
It didn't start out as within the intent of being a very activistic action, but I think whenever you're including and highlighting a minority, and especially when you're using political themes, or if you're creating a political art, then yes, but the platform itself, no. The art within it can be.
Yes.
Project V is not an activistic platform necessarily, but it is sometimes. The art is sometimes.
Yeah, it can be.
We've also hosted, like I said, a Tentacle Tribe, just really beautiful dance movements that has nothing to do with activism. But it can definitely be activistic.
And I think also, it's comments that I've been getting both when coming out of the performance event and in Project V events, that it just really gets people to talk about things that they would normally not talk about and share, like, intimate, awkward, embarrassing, funny stories. And I think more and more I realize, like, how important it is to be able to share all these thoughts, and that everyone can take, can participate in the conversation about whatever it is, your one night stand when you were 18 or
21
or a sexual harassment, like, that it's just really important to share it and to talk about it and to know that you're not alone, and that we have all had all kind of experiences,
and that it can be turned into something aesthetically super beautiful and pleasing as well. But let's just talk. Like, that's the main thing about, like, let's create a dialogue.
Let's just talk and let's just dance.
Let's party.
Would you like to share some of, if you have some specific inspiration for your both artistic and curational work, books, other artists that you would like to recommend to the people that listen to this podcast?
I think you should read Mengele Langbell's new book, Forsvinding Snowmor. It's about, she writes about losing her mom and also about using sex as kind of a tool to overcome sorrow. Yeah, she's a really, I like her writing style a lot. For me, she inspires me a lot. From there on out, if you're looking for activism, I think Amelia Hayo's Scandinavian Dream Girl is very interesting to follow on Instagram. I think Florence Given is a great female artist who have created these, like, pop cultural statement pieces, t-shirts that have gone worldwide, and she's like a 20-year-old female boss living outside of London. She's just awesome. No White Saviors is also a great Instagram page to go to if you want to read about cultural appropriation.
And also, I would say, like, all the artists that we have been collaborating in, if you go to our Facebook page or Instagram, then you can find their names referenced. And then also one that just pops up in my mind that I've been writing to that we want to have in a future event is Kim Ek, who is a Swedish photographer who makes she makes glitter pussies.
Yeah.
And it's, like, amazing. It's called Yoni Universe. Hopefully she will be in a future Project V. There's tons.
If she listens to this, write us.
Yes.
Yeah. We want to be clear about
it. We wrote you. There's tons and tons and tons.
Thank you so much for sharing all your thoughts and your ideas behind Project V, and thank you for showing the performance event. And thank you for having us in your very cozy dressing room where we have all your costumes and the snacks and champagne on the table.
Yeah, but yes, for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Everyone We Wish You Knew. We are very excited to share this project with you, and just stay updated for the next episodes. Yeah.